Okay, good afternoon. My name's Mike Lehman. We'll get started on this presentation. Okay, many producers have reported in the last 5, 8, 10 years that BT corn residue is heavier, denser, and persists longer than non-BT corn residue. Had a group of producers in our lab this spring. They still carry this perception with them, and there's been some studies in the literature to try and address this perception. Implement manufacturers and dealers have caught on to this perception, and even market equipment specially designed to deal with tough BT corn residue. Well, the first question to me is, why would I even care if this residue decomposed more slowly? And the first reason is simply that there's a lot of BT corn out there. Think lots of acres all over the country, all over the world. The next set of reasons there are potential reasons. The first reason, that's a fact. The rest are potential. One is that if there was an on-target effects due to the endotoxin, there would be prolonged exposure to non-target species. Secondly, there might be changes in forage quality. And thirdly, there would be alterations in carbon budgets, issues with planting, particularly mechanical issues with planting and increasing amounts of residue. But probably most prominently, if you have a lot of tough residue, you're going to do more tillage, which means more erosion. Again, these are potential issues. So, and then the next question is, why would BT corn decompose more slowly? I mean, the gene itself doesn't confer any structural traits to the plant. And the first reason would simply be unintended effects on the plant phenotype due to gene interaction between the inserted and the host sequences. An example of this might be the increased lignin content that was reported in some BT hybrids in 2001. Another reason is that there might be toxic effects on decomposing organisms by the expressed endotoxin either in the soil or in the residue. But the literature to date, there's really no published evidence of direct toxicity to soil microorganisms by these expressed BT endotoxins. And in meta-analysis and reviews, only inconsistent, small, or transient effects of the BT endotoxin have been discovered on soil macro and microbial communities. So what's going on? Well, we conducted 4 field studies over the course of the last 5 years to try and address our producers' concern about this perceived resistance in the BT corn residue. The first study used chopped stalks and leaves, and we used 4 hybrids, all from the same manufacturer, all from the same maturity series. One of the hybrids had the base genetics, one had the BT gene to produce the Cry1AB protein active against the European corn borer. The third one had the Cry3BB1 gene that produces the Cry3BB1 protein active against corn rootworm, and the fourth hybrid had both of those genes. We had about 250 litter bags, 1/8-inch mess size, replicated and buried about 5 centimeters deep. We measured residue mass loss, and we also measured the composition of the starting residues. So here's our results. You see 4 lines, they're nearly overlain. In our study, over a course of about 2 years, that x-axis covers about 2 years, the y-axis is percent residue remaining, ash-free dry weight, we found no difference in the decomposition of these 4 hybrids, varying genetics, same seed manufacturer, same maturity date series. Initial residue concentration, seed end ratio, no difference. Lignin concentration, no difference. Okay, so that's study number 1. Study number 2, we decided to expand to a couple different seed companies, so we include a little more diverse group of genetics in our studies. We used hybrids that had both of the BT genes, the one that produces Cry1AB and the one that produces Cry3BB1. We use these stacked BT hybrids against their non-BT isolines from the two seed companies. We use chop stalks, same methodology, the litter bags, only we have buried half of them between rows of corn and between rows of BT corn, adjacent plots of these, to see if there was any effect from proteins released from either growing or senescing roots. In fact, we let the corn simply stand there after it grew to see if there was any toxic effect to release from the decomposing roots. So here's the results. Again, we have residue remaining on the y-axis, days on the x-axis. We followed these the dynamics for about a year. The top four lines are the four hybrids that I showed in the previous slide. These were all buried in between rows of non-BT corn, and there was no significant difference in the decomposition of these residues at that location. The bottom four lines are the same four hybrids buried in between rows of BT corn. Again, no difference among these different residues in that location. These were adjacent plots. So in either location, there was no difference between the residues. Again, carbon and nitrogen ratios, lignin concentration, we found no significant difference in the residues that we started with. So one of the issues with the perceived resistance is maybe the stalks are mechanically stronger somehow. You know, we've heard producers say, well, they're wearing out my wheels, or they're lugging on my stalk chopper, or things like that. So we measured the physical strength of above ground internode sections from the stalks, specifically 3-point bending strength, and the top graph is flexural strength, which is basically measures when that stalk fails, when it breaks. And the bottom graph is a modulus of elasticity, which is essentially a measure of stiffness. We have the four hybrids in the top and the bottom graph. For each individual internode section, 3, 5, and 7, there were no differences among the hybrids. The only difference we could find was that the seventh above ground internode was stiffer than the other two. Okay, so, but that difference was the same across all four hybrids. So reconciliation, I saw a poster yesterday that suggests that BT hybrids may produce more biomass independent of insect pressure, but that hasn't been in the literature. There have been two papers in the literature that have shown this is not the case, that BT hybrids don't produce more biomass when there's no insect pressure. The next question is, do BT hybrids have more biomass or more resistant biomass simply due to differential insect damage? There, you need to evaluate the residues when they're grown under conditions of insect pressure, and that has not been reported before. And then the second thing is, do whole stalks behave differently than chopped? In a lot of lab studies, the types of residue that have been looked at have been actually ground really fine. We used chopped stalks in our previous studies, and in our fourth study, which I'll show you, we used whole stalk sections. Field study number three, we wanted to look at the effect of corn rootworm damage and see if there was any difference in the residue composition and decomposability. So we grew two hybrids, non-BT, CL344, and then the its BT isoline that produces the Cry3BB1 protein active against corn rootworm. These were grown in replicated plots where there was significant rootworm pressure. We have the same techniques with the litter bags and the same mesh size. Here you can see these are the corn rootworm counts for different larval and adult stages of the corn rootworm in the soil. This is on the unprotected hybrid. This is on the protected hybrid. Take home message here is we had corn rootworm pressure and it was higher on the unprotected line. However, we looked at above ground biomass in these replicated plots and found no significant difference between the amount of above ground biomass produced despite the insect pressure. We looked at residue decomposition after two intervals, 236 and 371 days, no difference. We also looked at stalk strength using the same methods that I showed in the field study two. Again, we found no difference in the strength of the stalk between the corn rootworm damaged plants and the non-corn rootworm damaged plants. Again, we find some difference between the different above ground internode sections. So field study four, and hopefully the final one. We decided we wanted to look at European corn borer pressure. We used three different manufacturer hybrid series. They each had base genetics. They had a BT hybrid that produces Cry1AB, active against the corn borer. We had a hybrid that produced the Cry3BB1, active against corn rootworm. We used whole stalk sections because the European corn borer damages the stalks compared to the rootworm, which damages the roots. We looked at two internode sections, the second and third above ground internode. A couple hundred litter bags. Because we used these whole stalks, we could use a higher mesh size litter bag. And that allowed access to probably the largest soil macro invertebrates that might be involved in litter decomposition, and also allowed us to examine if maybe they've been the reason for some of the inhibition. These different hybrids, there's 11 in all, were grown in replicated spots under substantial natural corn borer infestation. So the first thing to do in this slide, on the y-axis is the number percent of stalks infested or have tunnels from the European corn borer for each of these hybrids. And there's 11 hybrids. There's the three manufacturer maturity date series. And then we had three other base genetics lines from a single seed manufacturer for the sake of comparison. And this graph illustrates two things. One is we had substantial European corn borer pressure. And two, the hybrids that had the BT genes for producing Cry1AB protein, protects them against the corn borer, were very effective at protecting them against the corn borer. With the exception of an occasional stalk or two, there was no other stalks that had damage due to the European corn borer. So we did the mechanical testing again, and this time we didn't find any differences with respect to the flexural strength or the breaking point of these stalks. But if you compare simply the protected Cry1AB protected hybrids against all the other hybrids, regardless of their genetics, if they didn't have the Cry1AB gene in them to protect them and they were damaged, as we saw on the previous slide, we did find differences in the stalk stiffness. Between at least two of the internode sections were significant. Okay, so there is some difference mechanically in the stalks due to the insect damage. Does this translate into decomposition? No, we did not find any significant differences in the decomposition in these residues that might be related to their protection by the Cry1AB gene. We also did not find any difference in residue composition or above ground biomass that may be related to the presence of the BT genes or their resistance to European corn borer. So in conclusion, with our methods, our studies, the hybrids that we've used, we found little evidence to link BT genes with residue composition and decomposability. Couple possible explanations for our failure to find these differences despite widespread perceptions. One is that specific hybrids, an individual hybrid will vary with respect to its composition, its decomposability. I showed you one slide where, you know, five or six base genetics have quite a range. And it's possible that specific hybrids, maybe they were the ones that received the initial introduction of the gene, or maybe they were one of a limited set that that gene was propagated in, had those characteristics. And lastly, maybe it's just a coincidence. The last 10 years have continued a long-term trend of increasing grain yields, residue production rates, and simply may the introduction of the BT gene into corn hybrids may simply have co-occurred with other management practices that have increased the amount of residue per area. And that's all I have. Thank you.